Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Pei Hei. We left off on Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. We are at Yemar Bar Chashu, four lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha. It's also sponsored L'Zechus a Gemar Chasima Tova to all of Klal Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So first, we're going to continue in the series of stories. We did the first three stories yesterday, but the series of stories that relate to tfisa of being tofes an item after a person's death or before a person dies, and whether it works or does not work. Then we're going to, after that, that's going to take us through the entirety of Amud Aleph, all the stories about tfisa. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to tell more stories, but about taking a pikadon away from Yesomim, that if Yesomim had a pikadon and they don't know, did this actually belong to our father? Did it belong to somebody else? So when can you and can you not take the pikadon away from the Yesomim? We're going to have three stories about that. Then the Gemara is going to tell a few stories and guidelines about if someone leaves Nechasim and says, these Nechasim belong to Tuvia, and then he dies, but he never tells us Tuvia's last name, Tuvia's father's name, and there are lots of Tuvias around, so who, which Tuvia do we give it to? And how do we judge if two Tuvias come, and we don't know which one he actually meant? And then the Gemara is going to talk about if someone sells their shtar, we probably won't get to it today, but at the very end, we'll talk about if someone sells their shtar, and is then mochel v'chov, meaning a woman sells her ksuba and then says to her husband, by the way, I'm mochel the ksuba. So now does that work, that the guy who bought the ksuba is left with the ksuba that doesn't have any value to it, that he can't get paid from? So that's going to be at the very end of the daf. So let's begin. We are up to story number four, Yemar Bar Chashu. So says Gemara, Yemar Bar Chashu of Masak Buzuzi Bu Gavra. Yemar Bar Chashu was owed money by a certain person, Shachiv, and then that person died, v'shavik Arba. He didn't leave money, but he left a boat. So Amalei L'shluche, so Yem Bar Chashu told the Shliach, Zil Tafsa Ne'eli, go grab that boat for me, because that's going to be my payment. So Azil Tafsa, so the Shliach went, and he grabbed the boat, and Pagubei, Rav Papa, Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua, while he was grabbing the boat, he ran into Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bredi Rav Yeshua. So Amalei, they said to him, you're not allowed to grab this boat for Yem Bar Chashu, Atofis Balchov Makum Shechav L'Acherim. You're being Tofis on behalf of Balchov, you're a Shliach, to go and take a chov back for a balchov in a place where the guy owed money to other people also. So it's chav lachem. It's one thing if you were the balchov himself coming to collect. That's one thing. So then you'd be allowed to be tofes. But you're a shaliach of a balchov. You're not allowed to be tofes on behalf of a balchov when he owes money to other people. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, a tofes balchov, b'akam shechav lachem. Rabbi Yochanan taught us, lo kana, that if you go and you try to be tofes on behalf of a balchov when the person who owes the money owes money to other people as well, he's in debt to several people, then you're not kona. So tafsua inu. So the shliach of Yem Bar Chashu walks away, and now they go and grab it because they are the acherim that were owed money. They were owed money by this person as well. So they went and tried to be kona the boat. So Rav Papa mimlach meluche. Rav Papa steered the boat by, or drove the boat, whatever you call, made the boat move on the water by using the oars to make the boat move. Ravun Bar Yehoshua mimtach labashla. Ravun Bar Yehoshua pulled it by the ropes that were attached to the front of the boat. So Mara Marana Kanina Lukula. One of them said, I was kona the entire boat because I used it in the normal way by using the oars. Well, Mara Marana Kanina Lukula. The other one said, no, I got the whole boat because I pulled it by the ropes, and that's a proper kinyan on the boat. It's a better kinyan than your kinyan. So Pagabu Rav Pinchas Parami, they ran into Rav Pinchas Parami. Amar Lahu, Rav Pinchas Parami says, whatever tefisa you did is worthless. Rav Shmuel Dar Mitarvayu, because both Rav and Shmuel say that even according to Rabbi Tarfon, that you're allowed to be tofes lachar misa, that's only if the item is not yet in the rishus of the yisomim. Vusha tzibur nu munachim rishus harabim. That's it, only if the item is in the place like a rishus Sarabim, where you can't do a kinyan mashicha. So Amalei, so Papa and Ravuna Bred Rav Yeshua said, we didn't take the boat at the edge of the river, which would have a din of a simta. We were tofes the boat in a public area of the river, which has a din of a rishus sarabim, and therefore our tefisa does help. Meaning, you're telling me that according to Rabbi Tarfon, we are able to be kona as long as we did the kinyan in the rishus sarabim. We did the kinyan. kinyan in the equivalent of a rishus harabim. So maybe our kinyan works. It's just a question of which one of our kinyanim work, and that's what we're arguing about. So also came to Rava. The Rav Papa and Rav Huna came to Rava to ask the shayla. Amar lehu kaki chivri. Rava says to them, "You white geese, mishalchi glimi dinchi. You're stealing people's clothing. I mean, you're taking objects that don't belong to you." Hachi Amar Rav Nachman v'husha tafsu mechayim. Rav Nachman says that no, you're not allowed to be tofes lachar misa ever. We don't pass on Rabbi Tarfon. We pass on Rabbi Akiva that you need to be tofes mechayim. So even though Rav Pinchas Bar Ami had told them that within Rabbi Tarfon they may not have been kona, but they said no, from that perspective we're okay. Within Shitas Rabbi Tarfon we were tofes and Rosh Hasharabim. Rava said, I don't care what Shitas Rabbi Tarfon is. We pass on Rabbi Akiva. You have to be good according to Rabbi Akiva, and that you didn't do. You were not tofes mechayim. You're only tofes lachar misa. So another story relating to being tofes from a Bal Chov. Avimi Brid Rabbi Avoh, Avimaski Bezuzi Bechazai. There were people from the place of Chazai that owed money to Avimi, the son of Rabbi Avoh, and they had a shtar that were owed money by Avimi, so Shadrinu. So Avimi sent the money, Biyad Chama Brid Rabbi Bar Avoh. He sent Avimi, who owed the money, sent the money with a shliach whose name was Chama Brid Rabbi Bar Avoh. So Azul Chama went, Parinu, and he paid back the Chov that Avimi owed. So Amar Lehu, he said then to the people that he paid the money to, Havali Shtara, okay, I gave you back the money, give me the Shtar Chov, the Shtar Chov that says that he owes you the money. Amar Lehu, they said to him, Sitrayinu, no, he owed us other money also that we don't have a Shtar for, and we took this as payment for the other Chov that he owes us. Now we still have the Shtar for the for more money that he owes us. So Asal Kameh to Rabbi Avoh, they came to Rabbi Avoh, Avimi came to Rabbi Avoh, his father, to ask him what the din is. So Rabbi Avoh said to Avimi, Islach Sadi de Paratinu, do you have any witnesses that you paid back your chov? Amalei lo. He said, no, I don't have any witnesses. I just sent a shliach. So Amalei, so Rabbi Avoh said, Migo dichon lomer lo yedvar me'olam. Since they could just say that we never got the money back, they could deny the whole thing. Yichol nami lememer sitrayinim. So they're also nemen to say that we did get paid back, but we got paid back for a different chov, and that we still have this chov, and you still owe us the money that's in the shtar. So linin shlumi shliach mai. Okay, so now he can't get the shtaros back. He's still going to owe the money. But the shliach really cost him over here. So does he have to pay, does the shliach have to pay the mishaleach for being poshea with his money? Because he took his money, he gave it back to them, and he never demanded the shtar back. So till afterwards. And he was willing to part with the money before he had the shtar in hand. So Ravashi chazinan. We have to look at what lashon the mishaleach used when he sent the shliach. I amalei shakol shtar v'havzuzi. If he said, take the shtar and then give the money, so mishalim, then the shliach owes the money because he didn't do what he was told to do. But if he said, have zuzi shkol shtara, but if the way he instructed the shliach was give the money and then take the shtar, then lo mishalim, then he doesn't have to pay it back. Velohi, but the Gemara rejects Ravashi. There's no such chiluk. Ben kach, mishalim. Either way, the shliach has to pay him back. Dar melech, because the mishalech can say, the tukuni shidartich, velo lavusi. What, you think I sent you to mess me up, to cost me more money? I sent you to try to get this chov off of my head. So you did a big avla for me. You should have thought about what's going to work and what's not going to work. And obviously you shouldn't be paying the money until you have the shtar in hand. So now story number six. Hayi etzadav mifkadi gaba meloga d'shtari. There was a woman that had a bag full of shtari chov that were kept by her as a pikadon, and then the mafkid died. So asu yorshim katavi lamina. The yorshim of that mafkid came to the woman and they said, we'd like the bag of shtaros that our father left with you. Samlu, she said, Michaim tefisin luhu. No, he owed me money and I was tofes this bag as payment for my chov, and I'm not going to give you back these shtaros unless you pay the chov. So he owed me whatever amount of money. When you pay me that amount of money, I'll give you back these shtaros. So the woman came to a din Torah in front of Rav Nachman. Amalar, Rav Nachman said to the woman, Islach sadi to tavua minach Michaim lo yavdin elei. Do you have Edim that that he was toveya this bag of shtarus from you while the mafkid was alive, and you refused to give it with the taina that you were being tofes for your chov. I mean, do you have any edim that the guy who's mafkid the shtarus asked for the shtarus back, and you said to him, "I'm not giving it back because you owe me money, and when you give me the money, I'll pay it back"? Samalei, she said, "No, I don't have any edim that happened while he was alive." Same case. So then it's not called that you were tofes while he was still alive, because calls man that he was alive and the shtarus were pikadun by you, they're considered to be as if they're still in the reshus of the mafkid. Savitfisa de la chermisa, and therefore it's only now that you're really being tofes with this claim that he owes you other money. Utfisa la chermisa lo klumu, and tfisa la chermisa doesn't count as a tfisa, and therefore because these shtarus are metaltun, they're not meshubah to a balchov. And now a seventh story. There was a woman who was chayv shvua. There was someone that was claiming that she owed money. She was kofar akol. She denied the whole thing, and therefore Rav was making her take a shvua about it. So Amra le Bas Rav Chista. So Bas Rav Chista said to Rava. Bas Rav Chista was Rava's wife. So Rava's wife said to him, "Yadala b'dechashuda shvua. This woman, you're going to make her take a shvua. She'll lie through her teeth. I know her. I know that she's chashud on the shvua." So Avcha Rava le shvua ashaknegda. So Rava flipped the chiyuv shvua on the other baldin, because that person could be trusted. Just like any time someone is chashud al shvua, the Mishnah Masech Shvuos tells us shekenegdo nishpa v'notel. Then instead of being nishpa v'niftar, the other person is going to be nishpa v'notel, is going to take a shvua in order to get paid back. So zimnan aviyasvi kamei. Another time they were sitting in front of Rava, Rav Papa, Rav Ad Bar Masa, Rav Papa and Rav Ad Bar Masa, two great talmidei chachamim were sitting in front of Rava. Aisei u'shtar gabei, and they brought a certain shtar chov. Amalei Rav Papa. Rav Papa said to Rava, "Yadale be the shtar priyahu. I know the shtar. It's a shtar perua. You cannot collect with the shtar." So Amalei Rava asked Rav Papa, "Ike inish shachrina bahadi demar? Is there a second witness to this effect that you know that it's a shtar perua?" Amalei Rav Papa said, "Lo, I don't have another witness. I just know." So Amalei Avugav the ikamar. Even though you're being made on it, you're only an edechad. Edechad lav klumu. An edechad cannot be kovei adin, and therefore the malva is going to swear that this shtar is not perua. Like any time you have an edechad machisho. And he'll be able to collect his chov. So an eidechad can be mechayev v'shvua, but it's not going to make us rip up a shtar on the basis that an eidechad says that it's a shtar perua. So Amalei Rav Ad Bar Masna, lo yeh Rav Papa Kabas Rav Chista, v'lo yeh Rav Papa Kabas Rav Chista. Rav Ad Bar Masna says, "Rav, I don't understand. Your wife tells you something that the woman is chashur al shvua, and you're willing to be hofech the shvua on the other person. You just trust her blindly that the person is chashur al shvua. And Rav Papa is not as great as your wife. Rav Papa, one of the Gedolei Amoraim, you're going to say he's only an Eidecha, you're not going to believe that it's Shtar Perua." So Bas Rav Chista, Kimli Begava, Mar, Lo Kimli Begave. Rava says, "Yeah, I know my wife really well. She would never lie. Rav Papa, I don't know him as well. I know that he's Bigtam Chacham, but I don't know that he would never tell a lie." So I'm Rav Papa, Hashada Amar Mar, Kimli Begave Milsihi. Now that Rava said that his basis of his psak was that you could trust someone that is Kimli Begava, that they're not going to lie, could go in Abba Mari Bari, someone like my son, Abba Mari, the Kimli Begave, where I know that he would never lie, Karan Shtara Apume. If he would tell me that a shtar is perua, I would tear a shtar up based on his say so alone. Karan Salkadetuk, really? Is Neidechad, you could be, the Namanus of Neidechad so great that someone, you could take a shtar chov that's already signed with Edim, and from the person who's machzik in the shtar, in order to be Motzi Mammon, you need Shnei Edim. Sa'ela Maran Shtar Apume. No, what he means to say, I won't be Gova with the shtar, but I'm not going to tear the shtar up either. We'll wait till further evidence comes through, but I will not allow that shtar to be used to collect, because I fully trust my son that he would never tell a lie. There is a passage in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim in Klal Dalid where he says, if someone knows b'chaveru dvar erva, you know something negative about somebody else, you're allowed to tell your Rebbe who trusts you kibetrei, and therefore the Rebbe could be misrachik him from the chevra to protect the other students, the other talmidim, from the bad influence, until you know that the guy did tshuva. Meaning, even though normally if one person is telling you something, it's stam lashon hara, he has no nemanus, but if you know that he's telling the truth, then you're allowed to, the Rebbe is allowed to rely on it, the guy's allowed to say it, it's not a violation of lashon hara. So Moshe has a tshuva in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph Siman Gimel where he says, with Chafetz Chaim is not talking about a person who, you know, that the Rebbe trusts because he's a very religious person, because he's a big Talmud Chacham and he learns a lot, he's a Masmid or whatever. That's not good enough. Then he wouldn't have Ne'amanus of Neir Echad. What the Chafetz Chaim is talking about is a person that the Rebbe has a very long-standing relationship with, and he's had many opportunities to lie, and the Rebbe has seen he had many opportunities to lie, and he never did, and he's always honest, and he just knows through many, many interactions over many, many years that this guy would never tell a lie, and that's different than just saying, I trust the guy, he's a Talmud Chacham, so I trust him. And Rav Moshe says, and the raya, that's what must be what the Chafetz Chaim is talking about, is our Gemara, because here you have Rav Papa. Rav Papa's a big Talmud Chacham, there's no reason to assume he lies, but he only has a din of an Eid Echad. He does, not believed more than an Eid Echad. Whereas Bas Rav Chista is Rava's wife. He had so many interactions with her over the years. One thing he knows about his wife is that she's absolutely 100% scrupulously honest, and that she can have an Ne'amanus more than an Eid Echad. So that must be pshat in the Chavetz Chaim, says Rav Moshe. Okay, now the final story about Tfisa. It's the Chai V'Shua Beidina de Rav Bibi Barabai. There was a woman who's Chai V'Shua by the Beis Din of Rav Bibi Barabai. Amaluhu Baldin. So the Baldin of the woman said, let the woman come and swear in her city after the mitzvah modia, because maybe in her own city where there are other people around who know her, she'll be more embarrassed and she'll be moda. So the woman said to the dayan, kisvili zakvasa, write me a shtar that I came to the din Torah and I was patur with the shua dechim shtabana yahavili, so that as soon as I swear, then you're going to give me the shtar. So Rabbi Barabai kisvila, so Rabbi Barabai said, let's write the shtar for her, meaning in advance of her swearing, she wants it all written up, ready to go, that she had a shtar that says that she swore. So Rav Papi, Mishum Da'asisim Mimiloi, Amrisim Ili Milisa, what, because you come from the family of Eli, where they're unhealthy and they die young, you say words that should die young, you say things that are not glat, that are not correct. Ha'amar Rava, Hai Asharta Didaini, didn't Rava say that when you have a shtar kiyum, when Beis Din writes on the shtar chov that there were three dayanim, Yasfinu Bap, you know, the Bimosh of Tlasa, and Eide Shtar came and were made in front of us, that they signed on the shtar. Whenever you write a Beis Din, Maisa Beis Din, that's Mekayim Shtar, the Michtam Mekami, the Navu Sadi, Chsim Sidayu, that was written before the Edim testified about their signatures, Psula, that shtar is going to be Pasul. Alma Michsi Kishikra, so why is it Pasul? Because they wrote it up before it ever happened, so it's Michsi Kishikra, it looks like a lie. So Achanami, and this shtar also, that we're going to say this woman already took a Shvua, Michsi Kishikra, it looks like a lie, says Mar Velesa, but that's not true. This din that you don't write a psak din for the woman because Mechsi Kishikra is not correct. Mid Rav Nachman, based on Rav Nachman's teaching, Dam Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Meir, I feel mitzol ba'ashba, that even if a husband finds a get in the garbage can and his name is the same name as in the get and his wife's name is the same name as the woman's name in the get, v'chasmo, and he signs it v'nasnala and he gives it to her kosher, it's going to be kosher. We don't say that since it was written Shalol Hashem Gerushin, it's Mechsi Kishikra and it's Pasul. Va'afil Rabbanu Lo Pliga Le Rameir El Bikitin Nashim Debin Ksiv L'Shma, and even the Rabbanu disagree with Rameir, only disagree with Rameir about a get, because by a get there's a din V'kasav La, we darshan that La L'Shma. Aval Bishar Shtaros Papayad Shtaros by Shtari Halva Modele, the Rabbanu would be Modet Rameir that the Shtar would be kosher. So we see that you don't Pasul the Shtar just because when it was written it was not yet true. You're allowed to prepare a Shtar in advance. This is the whole discussion of whether you should fill in on the ksuba, the kanina, before the wedding, before they do the actual kinyan. The chasson always does a Kabbalah's kinyan on all the chiyuvim in the ksuba. So can you write the word v'kanina in the ksuba before the chasson does the actual kinyan? So some are makbid that they only write it afterwards because mechsi kashikra. How could you write the word v'kanina if the kinyan didn't happen? Others point out, no, this Gemara says that we're not worried about that. That there's no mechsi kashikra. You didn't sign it yet. You sign it after the kinyan actually happens. So that's the halacha. Is that you don't really need to. I've been too many times seen ksuba where they just never filled in Vikanina because the Masada Kedushin forgot. So he thought he would fill it in later, but he got flustered or busy or distracted at that time, and then they ended up not filling in Vikanina. So my Rebbeim always say to fill it in advance and not be machmir for such things. Anyway, Tam Ravasi, Yom Rabbi Yochanan, Shtar Shalavabo Pro, if you have a Shtar Chov that says that there was a loan and it was, and afterwards the chov was paid back, ein chozer v'lovabo, you're not allowed to use that shtar a second time, shekvar nimchas shibudo, because at the time that you paid it back, the shibud in the shtar was already nimchal, so you can't be meshabid the nechasim through that same shtar that when there was no through that same shtar a second time with the second halva'a. So the second halva'a would have a din of a malval peh, not a malval b'shtar. So time with the nimchal shibudo, the only reason you can't reuse it is because the shibud is nimchal of the mechsi kishikra l'chashin, but apparently we're not concerned about mechsi kishikra. Okay, so now we move from the stories about tfisa to stories about taking a pikadon away from yisomim. So there was a guy that was mafkid that gave us a pikadon, seven pearls, seven gems, the tzairi b'sadina, that were wrapped in a cloth by Rav Miyasha bar b'reid Rav Yishur ben Levi, by Rav Miyasha, the grandson of Rav Yishur ben Levi. Shachav Rav Miyasha v'lo pakid, and Rav Miyasha died, and he never told anybody who these pearls belonged to. So they didn't know that... if it belonged to their father or not. So also the Rabbi Ami. So the mafkid came to Rabbi Ami to be toveya his pearls from the Yisomim, and he even gave a simon how many there were, and he gave whatever simanim he gave. So Rabbi Ami said to the Yisomim, you got to give it back for two reasons. Chada the Adana Beib Rami Yasha, Barbara de Bishop and Levi. I know the Lo Amid, that Rami Yasha was not a rich man. Where would he have had pearls from? He shouldn't have had these gems. He was a poor man. Va'od hakayav simana. Plus, the guy is giving a simon. So you got to trust the simon, but that's only good enough if the person who's claiming it was not always in Rav Miyasha's house. But if he was always in and out of the house, it must be someone else must have given it as pikadon, and he saw it because he was always around the house. So that's why he was able to give simanim. So the fact that he knows that he was able to give a simon is not dispositive that he's the one that owed the money. Gavra, second story, who had a silver coast in the hands of Chasa, Shafk Chasa of Lopakid, Chasa died and he didn't tell his children who it belonged to. So also the Kamed Rav Nachman, the Mafkid came to Rav Nachman to be Tovea the coast from the Yisomim, and he gave a simon as well. So Rav Nachman says, Yadana Beb Chasa Dolomid, I know about Chasa that he's not a rich man. V'od, a Kayav Simana, plus he's giving a simon. V'lo Amar, so therefore you have to, give it back to him. V'lo Amaram, but we only believe him, Ela Delo Ragadai of the Nafak. If he wasn't someone, if the Tovea wasn't someone that was always hanging around Chasa's house, if he was someone that was always hanging around Chasa's house, it could be that someone else is mafkid and he just happened to see it. A third story, how dafkid matachsa bei Rav Dimi Achud Rav Safra, someone was mafkid a very expensive linen garment by Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra. Shachar Rav Dimi v'lopakid, Rav Dimi died and he never told his children who it belongs to, who this fancy beged belongs to. So Aslul came to Rabbi Abba, the mafkid came to Rabbi Abba, and he was Tovea, the beged from the Yisomim, and he gave simanim. So Rabbi Abba said to the Yisomim, you got to return it. First of all, because I know that Rav Dimi was not a rich man, where would he have ever gotten such a nice beged? Plus, the guy's giving a simon. But again, that only works if we know that the Tovea was not someone who was always hanging around the house. But if he was someone who was always in that house, so the simanim are not a raya. It could be that someone else was mafkid and he happened to have seen that. He happened to have seen that that someone else was mafkid. This is the Balamar has a Sefer Hatzava. In the Sefer Hatzava, he has Yud Gimel Midol Shatora Shebalpen Nidreshes Ben. He has like a gimmick, right, that we just like we say every morning, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, that there are 13 midos she Torah shebichsav is in the Drashas Ben. So he has rules of darshaning Torah shebal peh. So one of his rules, rule Yud Beis, midah Yud Beis, is chad va'od lo tzrichim la'adadi who mina grova gemara. That a lot of times in the gemara will say chad va'od. It will give one reason, then plus another reason. And sometimes there are tzrichim la'adadi, and one of them is in ksubas. I mean, what does it mean tzrichim la'adadi? Sometimes when it gives two reasons, one reason alone wouldn't be enough, and that's why it gives two reasons. It says you have to do this because of reason A plus someone else. And he says one of the examples is our Gemara Ksubas of Shav Marganisa Bei Ramisha and the Kasa de Kasba Bei Chasa and the Matchasa by Rav Dimi Achud Rav Safra, where he said first of all the guy isn't rich and furthermore the other person gave a simon. So we need both rayas, and it's clear in the Gemara you need both rayas because we said that the fact that he wasn't rich wasn't good enough because in each case we said that, oh, if he was always around the house, so then the siman becomes worthless. The siman may be worthless, but the guy still wasn't rich, so it didn't belong to him. Yeah, so you see that that you need both reasons to work with each other. So sometimes when you have multiple reasons given for a psak, each reason alone will not work independently. The Chacham Tzvi writes in a tshuva that it's a davar yadua, that when you read a tshuva from a posek, and the posek says there are seven reasons to be mekel over here. So if you have a different circumstance where you only have two of those reasons, or one of those reasons, you can't say, oh no, there's precedent, because the previous posek said seven reasons. So you see that that each reason is good enough. No, a lot of times you have what's called in halacha a snif lahakel. Snif lahakel means that there's an argument, that there's another, an additional argument to strengthen. Not every time you have something else that strengthens an argument, is it the basis of an argument? Is it enough to be the basis? So that's one of the midos of the Baal Amar, one of the midos that the Torah Shebal Peh is Nidreshes Pehen. So it says Gemara another story, or now the Gemara is going to discuss what happens if you have someone named, if the person dies and he says these Nechasim belong to Tovia, and there are many people named Tovia, so who do you give it to? Who normally Nechasim the Tovia? He says, my Nechasim go to Tovia. The way we pronounce it nowadays is Tovia, but in the times of the Gemara, I think it was Tovia. So Shachavasa Tovia, so the person died and Tovia came, and a guy by that name came and said that that this fellow said that he was going to give him his nechassim. So Rabbi Yochanan, Harei Bat Tovia. Rabbi Yochanan says, okay, so a guy named Tovia came, so he has every right to take it. I bet there are 1,000 people in town that have that name. You look in the phone book or whatever online, you'll see that all these people have that name. Yeah, you give it to the guy who came first, and you don't have to be choshesh that maybe he meant someone else, because it's mitstaver that the first person to come knew that that this person had died, and the person who died had meant him, and that's why he came so quickly, because he knew about this conversation. How did he know about this conversation? Because he was really part of the conversation. So the Gemara brings a number of stories where the halacha is pashut, and then other cases where the halacha is not pashut. So Amar Tovia and Asa Rav Tovia. Let's say he said these nechasim belong to Tovia, but then a guy who is a rabbi, Rav Tovia, came. So the halacha is Latovia Amar LeRav Tovia Lo Amar. No, he said these nechasim go to Tovia. He would have said Rav Tovia if it was Rav Tovia. V'inish to Gispe, but if it's a person that he's very close with, he's an old friend, they went to elementary school together, and he calls him by his first name, so Hagispe, so then of course he would refer to him as Tovia, he would refer to him by his first name. Asu Shnei Tovia, if two people came that have the name Tovia, Shachein V'Talmud Chacham, one of them was a neighbor of the deceased, and the other one happens to be a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham Kodem. We have the right to assume that he wanted to give it to the Talmud Chacham. Karo V'Talmud Chacham, if one of them was a relative and the other one is a Talmud Chacham, Talmud Chacham Kodem. We assume that he'd rather give it to the Talmud Chacham rather than give it to the relative. So Yibayu, Shachein V'Karov Mai. What if one person was a neighbor and the other person was a relative? So then, who do we assume he wanted to give it to? So Tashma Tov Shachin Karov Me'ach Rachok. The Pasuk Mishle says that it's more mistaver, that it's better to have a Shachin Karov than an Ach Rachok. So therefore, it's more mistaver that the deceased person favored his neighbor over his relative, because that's what the Pasuk says, that he has a closer relationship. Shneim Krovim, Shneim Shcheinim. What if he has, they're both relatives, or they're both neighbors of the Mace? Ushneim Chachamim. And or if they're both Tamidi Chachamim, and there's no advantage that one has over the other, his relationship with both parties is the same. So who do you assume he meant to give it to? So says Mar, Shuda Dedaini. In that case, we have to do a Shuda Dedaini. The Dayanim have to figure out who, you know, if there's any other factors, if there's anything that would indicate who he would have intended to give it to. You have to look at his relationships and try to figure out who he had a better relationship with. So Amalei Rav Lebrei. He said, let me tell you a great thing that your father said. That which the Shmuel says, that if a person sells a shtar chov to somebody else, and he's then mochel that shtar chov, that the mechila is valid, because not only can the malva be mochel the chov to the lova after he sells the shtar, even if the malva dies, the yoresh of the malva could be mochel, Moda Shmuel v'machnesa shtarchov lebaila. That Shmuel is moda that if a woman before she gets married lends money and gets a shtar for that loan, and when she gets married she brings that shtarchov as nichsei melug or nedunya into the marriage, v'chazra u'machalto, and then she goes and she's mocha the lova she'enu machal. That in such a case she does not have the capacity for mechilim, she yado ki yada, because the yad of the baal is like the yad of the isha, so he's also, from the moment she got married, he also became the bailam on that chov. And if he's not maskim to the mechila, then the mechila does not work. Okay, we'll stop there. Tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots, two lines from the bottom of the page. Okay, to everybody.